Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from The James at Ohio State, providing access to the most advanced cancer treatments available from a team specialized in treating just one type of cancer, yours. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/choosethejames.
This podcast was recorded Thursday, September 23rd at 10:40 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear it.
Yeah, like Ohio public schools will start teaching critical race theory.
Wait, you mean K through 12 schools here have never taught critical race theory and this is all really much to do about nothing?
Are you new here?
That never happens in politics, does it? Let's talk politics. This is Snelly Goster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those shrewd politicians who we call Snelly Gosters. I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, Governor DeWine emerges from a brief COVID hibernation, but basically sings the same tune.
He sure did. But first.
Like a kind of cicada, it emerges every 10 years, makes a big racket, then goes back under the earth and awaits its next turn. We're talking about legislative redistricting. Those were the sounds of annoyed advocates.
They were pretty annoyed, but this time the Ohio gerrymander cicada will emerge after just 4 years. That's because of that, quote, revolutionary system that voters approved in 2015 that was meant to improve the system to create more fair maps. Didn't really work as promised. It didn't really do much at all, and reform advocates not happy.
Not at all. The new commission has approved state legislative districts drawn in such a way that once again heavily favor Republicans. Because no Democrats on the commission voted for the maps, the districts will remain in place for only those 4 years instead of the standard 10 years.
Color me shocked. Under the new constitutional amendment, the commission was supposed to try to draw districts that match Ohio's political leanings. Ohio is roughly 55% Republican and 44% Democrat, so there is a bit of a difference there, but the new districts basically keep the legislature at 66% Republican, which would give the GOP a veto-proof two-thirds supermajority in both chambers of the legislature. And I feel vindicated by this because I was always puzzled by the good-hearted and well-meaning but evidently naive good government groups that thought this would work.
Yeah, this was the best they could get at the time. And I think they were hoping that this and the fact that voters overwhelmingly approve this, and polls show voters want this, that the legislature would pay attention. But again, Republicans continue to dominate statewide elections, continue to dominate state legislative elections, partly because of the maps, and they do not see the incentive to give up that power right now.
No, we're living in a post or maybe even again pre-Donald Trump world, whatever it is, but I've said this before. He's the first person who was really able to say, F you, what are you going to do about it? And that is what is happening here, that what are you going to do about it? Republicans get to choose their voters, not the other way around. And if they keep doing this, I mean, maybe they'll come with another constitutional amendment. But until they do, Democrats are stuck.
Yeah.
They're not going to get 45%. They're not going to approach a majority in either chamber.
I mean, I think the next step is they could appeal this to the courts. They're talking about it. League of Women Voters, the good government groups are considering appealing these maps to the courts. But that's probably a long shot. That the courts have been very reluctant to get involved in this issue because they think it's a political issue. It's in the hands of lawmakers, and they don't think that the judiciary branch of government should get involved in legislative matters. And that's basically what the Supreme Court has said. The Ohio Supreme Court. Maureen O'Connor, the outgoing Chief Justice, is seen to be a swing vote. She might rule in favor of the advocates who want a more fair map. But I think that the chances are slim and the best chance is to go back to the ballot.
I am certainly not an attorney, but this was just approved by voters. I mean, in 2015. Mm-hmm. They acted within the system that voters created. I guess you might be able to say if they were really being genuine when they said they were going to try to create these more fair maps. That's up for argument, certainly. But they did what voters told them to do. And so now they have this map that the system allowed them to create. I don't know what, again, not an attorney, maybe I don't know what the League of Women Voters and others can do, but they acted within the system.
Yeah. No, what's the legal definition of to try? I mean, how do they? Is there a scale? You tried a little bit. You tried hard. I mean,
yeah.
Try to prove that in court. That's going to be one thing. And also, there is a penalty. These maps only last for 4 years.
But that's an eternity in politics.
But there will be a statewide election during those 4 years. And there is some thinking, in fact, some Republicans alleged, that the Democrats played hardball in these negotiations, not agreeing to other compromise maps, because they feel they might be able to change this commission by the time they draw these maps 4 years from now. I think that's a long shot. They don't even have candidates for some of the statewide offices that are required to change these maps, state auditor being one, I think Secretary of State being the other. They do have a candidate for governor, two candidates for governor right now. But I think it's a long shot to think that Democrats can reverse this 15-year trend of losing big time in statewide elections to get maps into their favor 4 years from now.
And we say this quite a bit, but we need to repeat. Like, if you talk to Common Cause and other groups like that, both parties do this. If you look at Illinois has one of the most gerrymandered maps in the country, if not the most. I mean, this is not a strictly GOP thing.
And it favors Democrats.
If Democrats were in power here in Ohio, they would almost certainly try to do the same thing. There's no incentive for them to not do it. I mean, why would you give away power if you don't have to? So this is not a GOP critique. It's a critique on the lack of checks and balances that seem to be in place to prevent lawmakers from choosing their voters and not the other way around.
But Democrats did have a chance to fix this back in 2009. John Husted had presented a plan to them that would have set up a commission that would have been better than this plan, that would have, in theory, created more fair districts and a more fair process. And the party chair at the time, Chris Redfern, said, no, we don't want this, because they thought that Ted Strickland was going to beat John Kasich.
Yeah, we had a Republican governor at the time. All right, we had a Democratic governor at the time, a Democratic Secretary of State.
Yeah, they thought they could hold on. They would be in charge of drawing the maps in 2011 after the 2010 census, and they gambled and they lost big time. And we could have had a system in 2009, but the Democrats said no.
Yeah.
So this goes both ways. You're absolutely right. And there has to be a better way. But until the voters, I guess, force the issue, and these aggressive redistricting reform efforts have failed in the past. There was one in the late 90s, early 2000s that Herb Asher, the professor at Ohio State, was involved in. And there were like five questions on the ballot. And at that time, the sitting congressman at the time fought against it because it was going to take away some of their districts. And when you want aggressive redistricting reform, that's what happens. The powers that be get in there.
Sure.
Congressional is up next. We'll see if that's any different. But I find it hard to believe that the congressional maps are going to be a whole lot different than what we see now. There'll be one less congressman.
Yeah, the sound we heard at the beginning was activists and good government groups at a church near the state house trying to tell lawmakers who are about to craft congressional districts just to not do the same thing. It's really aspirational. It's probably not going to do anything at all. But they're telling them, hey, this still sucks. This is unfair. Please don't do this when you make our congressional map.
Yeah, and they're keeping the issue alive, trying to raise awareness. Most voters just frankly do not care about
this. It's a snooze fest when, yeah.
But they don't realize how important it is. So by these groups, you know, keeping this issue alive, it does raise awareness and it might force change down the road.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to a WOSU Public Media podcast. Everything you hear is funded by listeners like you. Become a member of WOSU Public Media today and support digital content like Snolly Goster and the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast. Make a gift at WOSU.org.
Welcome back to Snolly Goster from WOSU Public Media. Even as COVID surged in Ohio thanks to the Delta variant, and even though case levels had reached what they were last winter, we had not heard much from the state's chief COVID fighter. Governor DeWine all but disappeared, at least when it came to COVID.
Yes, he did. Well, the governor is back. He held televised briefings each of the past 2 weeks. And even though he had all those medical professionals lined up and he had all those charts he pointed to that showed more and more Ohioans in danger.
Despite the fact that our total hospitalizations now are lower, than at the peak of last year's winter surge, the numbers of younger admissions have dramatically climbed. The bottom line is that we're seeing our higher numbers, our highest numbers ever of hospitalizations among those under the age of 50.
Despite those grim statistics, the governor declined to issue anything more than strong recommendations. No mask mandates, no vaccine mandates. He says he is powerless to do anything.
The state legislature has made it very clear to me that they will take off a health order if I put a health order on.
He's not putting a health order on because it's not politically tenable to him right now.
Well,
he can let him put it on. And then let the state legislature put it. If you feel that way, Michael, I'm not even making the case. But he has the power to issue an order.
If you listen to that news conference and you listen very carefully, he specifically said, "I cannot issue a health order," because that's what the legislature has.
They have the ability to take it away.
Take away health orders, as we saw with Mayor Ginther in Columbus and the mayors of Athens and Yellow Springs. They didn't issue health orders; they issued other kinds of orders, administrative orders. The governor could issue a workplace safety order, or he could issue, the education department could issue an order saying the school kids could wear masks. And that would, but he kind of dodged those questions when he was asked. He could, you're right, he absolutely could call the legislators bluff. It could take him to court, but politically, he cannot do it.
Even more than that, he can issue a health order. The legislature can just override it.
Yeah.
I mean, he has the ability to issue all kinds of orders. He showed that he doesn't have any less powers than he had last March. It's just the legislature now has more power to override him. So this is not true, what he's saying. He can issue orders. And even if you don't go to a court fight to try to overturn the legislature, to try to have that rule, that law ruled unconstitutional, he could conceivably sleep at night if he really feels as strongly as he says he feels. I'm curious how he can say he feels this strongly and then not do anything about it.
His argument is that if he were to issue an order and the legislature were to come back in a week or two and revoke that order or override that order, and then they would cause confusion.
Yeah.
And then say he were to go to court and challenge the legislature's authority to override an executive order. It's certainly a separation of powers issue, and he alluded to that early on in the pandemic when they were talking about this bill. He says it would cause confusion, and there's an argument there that it would cause confusion, but let's face it, the districts, the school districts, if we're talking about kids wearing masks in school, which is what the governor was talking about, the school district, there's no confusion there. There's confusion now. School districts are imposing mask mandates, taking them away, putting them back on. There's a lot of confusion out there. The state mandate might actually lessen confusion.
Yeah, of course it would.
It's just a mess.
I mean, there's no confusion. I mean, that's just such a straw man argument. There's no confusion. And again, I'm not even trying to make the case for mask mandates. I'm just saying, stop saying you feel this strongly about it and then do nothing about it. It's ridiculous.
Well, Joe Ingles, the State House reporter for Ohio Public Radio, asked them that very question. He said, you keep saying that this is really, 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 really bad and you should wear a mask, you should get the vaccine, but it's not having an impact. So what's there to do? And the word is on this Thursday that he might offer some incentives for folks to get the vaccine. Things may have changed by the time you hear this, of course. So we'll see what those incentives are if he does that. And meanwhile, there is signs of hope that maybe this Delta variant has peaked and is
right,
heading down. But these young people getting sick now in these hospitals, it's scary.
Yeah, for the first time this week, for the first time in 75 days, the 21-day rolling daily average of new coronavirus cases dropped for the first time since early July. So we might be on the doorstep of things. And there's a panel of researchers that advised the CDC who said this week that the Delta variant has peaked and case numbers will consistently decline through March. Again, that's assuming there's not another variant that pops up. And they're still urging vaccinations to keep variants from popping up.
Let's hope it's the lack of COVID cases that drop the numbers and not just that terrible rainstorm we all went through on Wednesday.
That was pretty depressing here in Columbus.
You got to remember that cases are always down on Monday because nobody goes and gets tested on Sunday.
Right.
So there's so many variables here, but let's hope we're on the backside.
Anyway, time now for our Snollygoster of the Week Award, which we give to the shrewdest politician or political move of the week. Let's get back to our opening on the show there where we joked about critical race theory, how it might eventually be taught in Ohio schools. We say that because it never has been taught to K-12 students here. Not now and never before.
Nope. Well, that didn't stop a few dozen people, along with former Ohio treasurer and current U.S. Senate candidate Josh Mandel, from protesting outside the Ohio Board of Education this week.
Yeah, we're not really sure what they were protesting. Here at Snollygarster, we are all for lively debates on important topics, and there is certainly room to disagree on how race is taught in schools here and around the country. But we need to reiterate the concept of critical race theory that some on the right are using to rile up their base has never been taught in K through 12 schools in Ohio.
Nope.
Never.
Now, they could argue that it might be down the road, and they're trying to prevent that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's wrong with saying that?
It's just red meat. It's red meat.
What's wrong with objectively looking at the 400 years of problem we've had with race in this continent?
Yeah.
As long as you do it fairly.
Again, if people want to disagree over how race is taught, have that debate. But when you see people with signs that say stop CRT out front of the Board of Education, and the Board of Education has never endorsed and is not on the doorstep of endorsing or proposing a CRT-based curriculum, it's just, it's red meat that Josh Mandel and others are throwing to rile up their base. So Josh Mandel and all your buddies, you are Snollygosters of the Week. If you have a suggestion for next week, you can email it to snollygoster@wosu.org. Also, be sure to leave us a good review on iTunes or wherever else you get your podcasts. And as always, just tell your buddies about us. For our audio producer, Eric French, and our web producer, Michael DeBonis, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.